The reading this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 1. And I will read from verse 1 to 5. And this can be found at the beginning of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. This is the word of the Lord.
The gospel is taken from Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt round his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Can I ask, do we have a scientist in our congregation? The only reason I ask, because in my home church, we had a few, and I had to really tread carefully on what I say. So, great, let's pray. Listen, you heavens, and I will speak. Hear, you earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching fall like rain, and my words descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. I will proclaim the name of the Lord, praise the greatness of our God. So, precious Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. Amen. So, the book of Genesis is amazing. It is a book all about beginnings. In Hebrew, it is called Bereshit. And the opening sentence in the Hebrew Bible consists of seven words, foreshadowing the 7 days of creation. As we read Genesis, it is evident that this book has had a profound impact on all of us, our families and society. It touches on many critical truths that are still relevant today. The creation of the world and mankind has been subject to various interpretations and perspectives. Even scientists are puzzled and cannot agree, each arguing their own theories. My brothers and sisters in Christ, in Genesis 1, we struggle when we read the words "in the beginning." It is not about figuring out its relevance to us. It's not only about figuring out its relevance to us, but also about the inherent tension between science and faith. The account of Genesis 1 of God creating the heavens and the earth in 7 days is hard to accept for anyone with exposure and experience in science. Many people struggle to reconcile their faith with science when reading Genesis 1. They feel they must choose between accepting scientific evidence or believing in God. This has caused some to abandon their faith altogether. I would like to suggest that science and faith can coexist and complement each other. While science is limited to observing and measuring phenomena, faith offers insight into the meaning and purpose of things. We should view science and faith not as opposing forces, but as partners that work together. Science explains the mechanics of how things work, while faith offers an understanding of why they matter. One day, a group of scientists get together and decided that man had come a long way and they no longer needed God. So they picked one scientist to go and tell God that they were done with him. The scientist walked up to God and said, "God, we have decided that we no longer need you. We are at the point that we can clone people and do many miraculous things, so why don't you just go and have some rest?" God listened very patiently and kindly to the man. And after the scientist was done talking, God said, "Very well. How about this? Let's say we have a man-making contest." To which the scientist replied, "Okay, great." But God added, "Now we are going to do this just like I did back in the old days with Adam." The scientist said, "Sure, no problem." And bent down and grabbed himself a handful of dust, of soil. God just looked at him and said, "No, no, no, no. Go get your own dust. Go get your own soil." My brothers and sisters in Christ, scientists have limitations. They can only create from pre-existing resources created by our God. They cannot create from nothing or without using the resources provided by God. Scientific experiments have no concept of belief or faith. Scientists have also worked out that the world was formed through the Big Bang and evolved over billions of years, but they failed to provide an answer by whom and why such an organized world was created in the first place. As Christians, our faith, our belief, our trust gives us the answer to this question. God created the world in 7 days, as mentioned in the book of Genesis. But it is important to note that day one, day two, and day three are not limited to a 24-hour period. As it is only on day four that God said, "Let there be light in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons, days, and years. And there was evening and there was morning on the fourth day." So let's just get this again. And let them serve as signs to mark seasons, days, and years. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. I wonder if our scientists can tell us how long were day one, two, and three. So the book of Genesis serves as a crucial piece of scripture that enables us to comprehend the fundamental roots of various significant aspects of human life. Through its profound teachings and insights, we can gain a deeper understanding of the origins of sin and death as well, as the formation and development of various societies and communities over time. The book is a revelation of God and his plans for us. It also sheds on the beginning of sin and that has become prevalent in our society. Furthermore, it showcases God's heart of grace and mercy in how he dealt with Adam and Eve concerning sin. The creation of the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, the land, the sea, the sky, the intergalactic world is a testament of God's power, creation, and organization. I believe in a God who creates out of nothing, brings order into chaos, and brings light into darkness. This is my God. This is your God, the all-powerful, the all-knowing, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Do you know this God? If not, then I encourage you to seek him. Because he made something spectacular in his image on the sixth day of creation, only for his image to be distorted by man failing prey to sin. Adam and Eve disobeyed God by eating the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, distorting the image of God within us. Living the image of God means we were created good. We are made to be in a close relationship with God, to love God and love our neighbors, who is also created in the image of God. John Wesley, in one of his sermons, says, "The image of God can describe pre-fall humanity as possessing an unerring understanding, an uncorrupted will, and perfect freedom." According to him, God crowned these attributes with happiness, making them an integral part of the image of God. However, since sin entered the world through the disobedience of Adam and Eve and distorted that image within us, though the image of God remains intact within us, but this image is now quite untuned. So the love of God is so great for each one of us that to restore the relationship distorted at the fall of man, he revealed himself to us in our image, in the image through Jesus Christ, his Son, our King, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Prince of Peace. This is the power of God, the all-powerful, the all-knowing, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, a God of possibilities who stepped into pre-creation chaos and brought order into this dark world. The God of possibilities, through his prophets, prophesied of his coming. He then sent John the Baptist to make a way, who cried out in the wilderness with a message of the Savior. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the same God whose spirit in the beginning was hovering over the waters. The same God who created the heavens and the earth. The same God who stepped into chaos and brought order. The same God who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The same God who made us in his image. This is mind-blowing and reveals us to the might and power of our God we serve. My brothers and sisters in Christ, Genesis 1, verse 1 reminds us, in the beginning there was God. In the beginning there was God. My brothers and sisters, please do remember, in the beginning there was God. Before the heavens and earth were made, were created, there was God. Before evolution started, there was God. And there was, before there was even darkness, there was God. When there was only disorder, there was God. When nothing was being productive, there was God. When all hell was breaking loose, There was God. God was there before the universe even started. Even the psalmist in Psalm 90 verse 2 gives testimony that before the mountains were born or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Not you were God, not you shall be God, but you are God. God is always there. There never was a time when God wasn't there, and there never shall be a time when God is not there, because God is eternal. This is comforting. Because God, who revealed His power and might in the beginning and created heaven and earth, was going to reveal Himself in our image in a miraculous way, in the form of Jesus Christ the Messiah. And His life, death, resurrection stand as a testimony. His miraculous birth, the healing of the blind, the raising up of Lazarus from the dead, healing of the sick, healing the lepers, feeding the 5,000, the forgiveness of sins, stands as a testimony of His miraculous powers and His grace and mercy for each one of us. I want to tell you today, when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that was hovering over the waters in the beginning, the Spirit that spoke at the time of Jesus' baptism saying, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased," will hover over our dark moments as well. And will make His light shine within us, removing the darkness that might envelop us. This is the power of God. The Almighty, the All-Powerful, the beginning and the end. The beginning and the end. The beginning and the end. I encourage you to seek Him in the beginning, if you want Him to hover over your sickness, over your cancer, over your adversities, over your troubles, over your brokenness, over your job losses, over your finances, over the lowest moments of your life, over your family life, over your broken relationships, then you would need to allow this Messiah to work in your life. Because He will shine His light and make us whole. And in His fullness, we will find grace. Remember, His grace is sufficient. His grace is enough. And His grace is bountiful. His grace has no price. His grace will set us free once again from the bondage of sin. And His grace will help us to get to the other side of our transgressions. The God of all beginnings loves us all. Let us accept Him. Let us acknowledge Him. Let us allow Him to work towards a new beginning in our life. Let us allow Him to work a new beginning in our lives. I want to leave you with a story, a short story. A discussion between a cave and the sun. One day the sun and a cave struck up a conversation. The sun had trouble understanding what dark meant, and the cave didn't quite get the hang of light and clear. So they decided to accompany each other for a week. The cave went up to the sun first and saw the beauty shining all around and said, "Hey, I see, this is magnificent. This is beyond wonderful. Now come down and see where I have been living." The sun went down to the cave, and the cave was astonished. As for the first time, it saw itself from within. The sun did not feel different in the dark and gloomy cave, because when the sun went down, it took its light along, and even the darkest corners were illuminated. That's why the sun couldn't see any difference. There is a quote from an ancient book that says, "The enlightened ones can never be sent to hell or pushed into darkness. They carry their heaven on their shoulders all the time." Jesus is our heaven, perhaps a state of mind we are supposed to achieve. The world we live in today is plagued with greed, hunger, homelessness, drugs, unrest, and wars. This constant state of negativity is pushing us towards the same dark void that God defeated in the beginning. We might find ourselves full of fear, doubt, and negativity, and without even realizing it, we become a hollow cave of darkness. Despite our efforts to accumulate positivity, we will remain hollow and unfulfilled. But if we are illuminated with the light of Jesus, if we are blessed by the Holy Spirit, then the darkness within us will not matter. We could be in the worst of circumstances, but still be able to see hope, grace, and mercy shining all around us. Please do remember, this is the same God of heaven and earth that was there in the beginning, who revealed himself in the form of Jesus the Messiah. He is the same God who has cared for and loved each one of us since the beginning. And please don't forget, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God came into this dark world for you and me. In the beginning, God came into this dark world for you and for me. God bless us all. Amen.